What an important day for me. It's the 5th of the 5th, 2018. That's my birthday. And I'm turning 55. And I'm starting to talk on the internet. And I'm going to post this at 5:55 p.m. Quirky? I know. Well, I've been struggling under a burden from God to start putting things on the internet. And you go on the net and you think, wow, there's so much stuff. Why would you want to add to the noise? And not a lot of agreement going on there. I don't know if you've noticed, but so-and-so disagrees with so-and-so. So it's been years for me looking at this stuff thinking, there's absolutely no way I need to add to the noise that's on the net. But I was in the church service the other day, and this burden that God's been brewing in me sort of started bubbling to the surface, and I just can't hold it back. So I thought, I've got to set a date. Why not when I'm 55? 5th of the 5th, 5:55 p.m. Okay, so it doesn't really matter who I am. What matters, I guess, a lot is who Jesus is. And I'd like to put out there a verse that I heard in the church service, and it's from John chapter 14. It goes like this. I think it's verse 25. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the help and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." As I was reading that, I thought, there's the burden I've got. Our generation is pretty good at hearing some of the things that Jesus said. But what about the challenge of all? So I thought, well, if I'm going to start somewhere, why not actually speak about all the things that Jesus said and maybe did? He was pretty passionate about the stuff he was saying and doing, because he said, you know, it's not my stuff. I'm getting this from Dad. And his mission was to basically do and say everything that Dad had said for him to do and say from heaven to earth. And the Holy Spirit's job is to remind us of everything that Jesus said his Dad said. And so given all that, I'd like to start talking and going through bit by bit in the Gospels what Jesus said and did. I think you'll find that we spend a lot of time puddling around in a lot of what Jesus' disciples, his followers, his mates said and did. That would be Paul and Peter and John and everybody else. And sometimes we forget where they got their stuff from. And that's from Jesus. And you find that stuff in the Gospels. So I'm going to start in the Gospels. And I'm going to try and be faithful to get it all out. I'm just going to try and be faithful to get it all out, rather than pick and choose the restorative and friendly and kind and compassionate and salvaging words and deeds of Jesus. Because he does so many of those. I think they're getting a fair amount of airplay in our generation, but my concern, I guess, is just make sure that we're getting all of it, because the Spirit of God is very, very keen on us hearing all of it. So with that said, I've decided to start in the Gospel of John, because there's no one here to argue with me about that. So I'm going to start in John. It's a bit of a favourite for me. And at the start of it all, John gives this amazing philosophical stuff about who Jesus is, and lots of it'll do your head in, really do your head in. But I'm going to kind of skip a lot of the things of John and just stick cheekily on the bits that Jesus is doing and saying. So that might skew the context a little bit. I appreciate that. But that's just my burden, you know. If you've got a burden from God, what do? Go with it. Get out Jesus, everything that Jesus said and did. All right. Well, with all that said, I'll get on and we'll start looking at John. The first three chapters will be my start point. I'd like to just do them in maybe 5 to 10 minute slots, just bite-sized pieces, and we'll see how we go. see you in the next episode. Great. So let's launch into the Gospel of John. I'm going to be a bit cheeky. I'm not going to read all of the Gospel of John. I'm going to just paraphrase quite a bit of it and try and nut down and focus in on the sort of things that Jesus said and Jesus did. Why would I do that? I'm basically doing it for time's sake, but that's the burden that I have. And I understand that that can skew the context a little bit. So by all means, go back and read the other bits, which might help with the context. I'll hopefully paraphrase it a little. Now, the start of John. John, who is John? He's this guy who's a fisherman who lives up north near Galilee, and he's following this dude called John the Baptist because he's saying there's a guy coming that we're all expecting. It's the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Anointed One. We know he's coming, and we've been talking about it for like hundreds and hundreds of years. And now we think about it, Moses was writing about it, the prophets were writing about it. There's one coming. Someone's coming. He's the King of the Universe. He's going to change everything. Everything's going to change. And so this momentum started, and John the Baptist, he got the nod from God. He said, right, out you go and start talking to everyone that he is really, really close. Now, God told John the Baptist, you know how you're going to find him? No, how am I going to know? Which, you'd love to know how you're going to know. He said, just start baptizing, and there'll be one that when you dunk him, you'll see the Spirit of God coming out of heaven and resting on him. He's the one. Okay, that's a good sign. Got it. And so even though Jesus came to John the Baptist, John felt dirty. John felt unclean in his presence. John didn't think it was right that he should be baptizing Jesus. He thought, nah, other way around. But Jesus said, no, no, to fulfill what's right, let's do this. And of course, that John got to see the sign and get confirmation that this guy was the one. In goes Jesus, down comes the Spirit, John sees him, John's on. That's the guy. That's pretty exciting. Can you imagine something being foretold in your country's history or in your family's history for hundreds and hundreds of years, something passed down, and now here it is. Here it is. Here he is. Now for John the Baptist, he had a whole bunch of guys that were helping him out. His ministry had to get less because his mates were going towards Jesus. Would you hang with the guy whose job it is to say the King of the Universe is coming, or would you hang with the King of the Universe? I think it's a no-brainer. So he's losing people. Not a smart ministry move for his ministry, but he did the right thing. He said, no, you go with him. And so the next bit I'm going to read out from John is in the second half of chapter John, and it's about the call that Jesus makes on his disciples. They were already ready. They were already primed. They were already looking for the guy, the one, the King of the Universe. And Jesus went around and he gave them the tap. chapter 1, verse 35. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" Great question. Lots and lots of people came after Jesus. We can come after Jesus. But why? Why are we seeking him? And I think Jesus really is interested at heart level, the answer to that question. Can you answer that question? Well, they did. They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So straight away, you're seeing the invitational heart of Jesus. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. I don't know, how do you go? Can you stay with people you don't know for a whole day? Well, if it's Jesus, you can. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. So he, Andrew, brought Peter, or Simon, his brother, to Jesus. Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Kephas." Well, that's a bit strange. You'd think he'd use his name. But look what Jesus is doing. He's looking into this man and saying, "That's not who you are. You're somebody else." Simon means reed, wispy, flowing in the wind, easily bent. Jesus doesn't see that. He sees Kephas, Peter, rock. Ever had that experience where you feel like Jesus sees your heart and sees something different than everybody else and calls out some strength from something that was weak inside? Well, that was his first experience of Jesus for Peter. Core stuff. Jesus changing the core. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." You get this sense that Jesus is kind of definite. He's kind of on a mission. It's not like, "Hi, Phil, where are you going? Up to anything good? Check out what I'm up to." He said, "Philip, follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Well, Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Wow. Jesus is at it again. He sees Nathanael coming, and what's coming out of his mouth? A heart perception of the man and a deeply encouraging, insightful comment. Who wants Jesus to look at them and say, "You're a good guy. You're solid. A lot of integrity in you. You're true." Now, I'll put my hand up for that one. So Jesus is in full encouragement mode here. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Hard not to get the feeling that Jesus is not so much a materialist, not so much into a social working type scientific society-based understanding of life. He's packing this really strange otherworldly type understanding. He's talking about seeing angels, a place called heaven. He's talking about some weird perception whereby you can actually see other people when they're not even close to you and know where they are and what they're doing. Some weird revelation thing. So you can understand why these early disciples are saying, Wow, you're different. We really, really do think you're that guy from heaven, the Son of God. Jesus wasn't shying away from it. Jesus wasn't saying no, he wasn't. He did use a different phrase. Notice the disciples are saying, We'll call you Son of God. And he sort of turns that into, I'll call myself Son of Man. And there was a great reason for that. If you called yourself the Son of God in the Jewish culture at that time, you could be held to account for that, and if found not to be the case, they'd kill you. So Jesus actually used of himself the term Son of Man because it wasn't time to be killed. Not yet. Dad had given him things to say and things to do, and so he needed an incognito term, and he used the term Son of Man. But actually, it's pretty tricky from Jesus' point of view, because if you go back into Daniel 7, there's a guy who's called the Son of Man, who's actually the Son of God, who actually is the King, whose kingdom never ends, who lives and rules forever, aka Jesus. So, smart one, Jesus. It kept all of his opponents off the scent. Okay, so just perhaps summarising that section, you've got Jesus' entrance on the stage. He's bold, he's strong, he's authoritative, he's not backward, he's on a mission, he's spiritual, he can see, extrasensory perception in some way, and he's looking into the heart, and he's putting strength in, and he's putting courage in. And he's changing names. So that's a great first start for the disciples. Let's see what he's up to next in the next installment.